Let's continue our look at piracy this morning by going to a place that used to have the most notorious piracy problem in the world. It wasn't Somalia. 5 years ago, more than a quarter of pirate attacks worldwide happened in and around the Malacca Straits in Southeast Asia. Roughly a quarter of the world's trade and about a third of its oil passed through that waterway each year, and pirates regularly took advantage of slow-moving, tempting targets. 5 years later, the attacks have fallen off, and in this latest report in our series, NPR's Michael Sullivan went to find out why.
The Philip Channel is a narrow waterway that separates Singapore from a handful of islands here on the Indonesian side. Huge container ships and tankers move past as our boat heads toward the center of the channel with Singapore's gleaming skyscrapers dead ahead. My guide is a former Indonesian pirate named Andre who says being a pirate was fun.
Sometimes we'd get as much as 5,000 US from one ship, and we used the money to have a good time. We'd go to a big city and spend it on happy. Then we moved somewhere else and do it some more.
Happy is pirate talk for drinking, dancing, and women, and the pirate's life was one Andre was pretty much groomed for, having grown up on the nearby island of Blakang Padang, a notorious pirate haven. But Andre says he gave up being a pirate a few years back. Too dangerous, he says.
I thought it was better for me to stop before I got caught, because the Indonesians and the Malaysians and the Singaporeans all started increasing their patrols, and it was getting harder and harder to avoid them.
Andre says he's glad he quit when he did. Two guys he used to run with got caught a few months back and are now in prison.
The number of reported piracy and sea robbery attacks in Southeast Asia have declined fairly significantly over the last 4 to 5 years.
Ian Story follows maritime security at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore.
In the Straits of Malacca, where the real focus has been because it's strategically very important for the world economy, the number of attacks has dropped from 38 in 2004 to just 2 in 2008.
Greater cooperation by regional governments is one reason why the numbers have dropped. Cooperation spurred by fears of what might happen if they didn't after 9/11, when Western countries began worrying about a possible link-up between pirates and terrorists bent on disrupting the global economy by attacking one of the world's major trade routes.
The regional countries came under a lot of pressure from the U.S. particularly to do something about it. And in the case of Indonesia and Malaysia, there was a very real fear that if they didn't do anything about it, then the U.S. might act unilaterally. They would see that as an infringement of their sovereignty, and they also believed that a U.S. military presence in the Straits of Malacca would fuel Islamic extremism in the region.
Coordinated patrols are now common, as is information sharing. Indonesia, Story says, has also done a far better job of dealing with the problem. Contributions by foreign governments have also helped new coastal radar to help keep an eye on pirate activity, and new boats for the Indonesian Marine Police to help catch the pirates. Indonesia's Regional Marine Police Headquarters is in Skupang, just a 15-minute boat ride from the pirate island of Blakang Padang. And after morning exercises are over, one of the skippers here proudly shows me his most recent acquisition. Hardiono says his shiny new 30-foot patrol boat has twin Mercury 250-horsepower engines and can do about 40 miles an hour. It and more than a dozen like it are gifts from the U.S. government, part of a $47 million program to help improve regional interdiction and counterterrorism efforts. Mohamed Yassin Kosasi is the regional marine police commander. He says, send more. I can use another 10, he says, more if they have them. These boats are the newest and fastest we have, he says. But we still don't have nearly enough. We're doing a good job against the pirates, but the smugglers and the traffickers are still better equipped than we are, he says, and they're faster. On a nearby island, a 37-year-old pirate named Iwan sits under a canopy of palm trees, alive with cicadas, gazing out over the Philip Channel and Singapore so close, it seems you could hit it with a rock. Iwan points to a passing LNG tanker and a police boat running alongside. Increased patrols, he says, have forced many pirates to work farther from home in shipping lanes outside the strait, where enforcement is still weak. These days, Iwan says, he doesn't even bother going shopping. That's pirate slang for going out and simply waiting to plunder whatever comes by. Shopping's too dangerous now. Instead, Iwan simply waits for an informant, usually a crew member, to tip him off when a big haul is headed his way. Iwan says he wants to get out of the business soon before he gets caught, but the money, he says, is just too good. His last haul, 2 months ago, yielded more than $100,000 split seven ways. It's easy money, he says. Where else can I get so much so quickly? There aren't many jobs here to begin with, and if the economy gets worse, he says, there will be more of us. He may be onto something. After the Asian financial crisis of 1997, economies tanked, defense spending was slashed, and in Indonesia, the fall of the dictator Suharto brought political instability too. Pirate attacks in the Malacca Straits soared. But Indonesia is not a failed state like Somalia, analyst Ian Story says, and no one really expects things to get as bad here as they are there. But having said that,
Indonesia is the weak link in all of this. The Indonesian defense budget has been cut by 15% for this year. Only about a third of its naval ships are operational. So if international pressure eases off, then patrol fatigue sets in, and the participation in the Malacca Straits patrols might become less frequent, and that we may see a rise in attacks again. This is exactly what happened in the mid-1990s.
Back in the Philip Channel, watching the container ships and cargo vessels float lazily by, former pirate Andre says Ian's story is spot on. I don't want to go back to being a pirate, Andre says. I've got two daughters, and it's no life for a man with a family. On the other hand, he says, the money is a lot better than what I make now. And if the patrols stop, he says, I'd be sorely tempted. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.
Our series continues tomorrow with a return to the region that's at the heart of the problem now. We'll visit Yemen, just across the water from the pirates of Somalia. Yemen says it's part of the solution to piracy, though some fear it might soon be part of the problem.
Yemen is dependent on oil revenues. Now, with the financial crisis, with the oil prices going down, basically the country lost, most of its credit and, financial resources.
Which is why some people are asking if Yemen could become the next Somalia.